Okay, we got the message that we're being recorded and it's 12:30. So welcome everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. First item of business is just the notice of our processes and protocols for meetings that are done electronically. So please bear with me. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, the meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. There's no public comment on today's agenda, therefore members of the public will not be permitted to speak during the meeting with the exception of the authority's consultants and professionals. In accordance with the governor's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference, board members and consultants and professionals are asked to state their name and title before speaking. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive an email or text advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned, or meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that as our preamble, I'd like to do our roll call, and I will start with board members. I'm Peter Lisi, obviously I'm present. Ben Barnes, is Ben on the line today? Ben Barnes? No. Marty Budd?
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster? Andrew, no. Daryl Hill. Is Daryl on? No. Julie Savino.
Here, present.
Thank you. Michael Azzotti. Laura Baker.
Present.
Thank you. And Jeanette Weldon. I see Jeanette.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
One more call out for Ben Barnes. Michael Azzotti. Daryl Hill. Denise, do we have a quorum then? I thought that Daryl was going to be on the line.
You have five currently, okay. So you're fine.
All right. And Chesil staff, Denise Aguilera.
Here.
Thank you. Josh Herlock.
I'm here.
Joanne Makowitz. Thank you. Cynthia here. Peoples.
I'm here.
Thank you. Shannon Reynolds.
Here.
Thank you. And Kara Stewart.
Here.
Thank you. Consultants and vendors, when I call your company's name, if you were online representing that company, please identify yourself. Do we have representatives from Bank of America?
Yes, Scott Robertson from Bank of America Securities is on.
Just you, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Hilltop Securities.
This is Tim Webb.
Thank you.
I am the only one from Hilltop.
Thank you. Pullman and Conley.
Judith Blank is on, as is Sandra Dawson.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm actually going to sign off and sign right back on. I'm having a problem with my audio.
Okay. RBC Capital Markets.
Yes, you have Jeff Wagner and Gary Wolf.
All right. And U.S. Bank.
Bill Gutkowski is on. Just me.
Anyone else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, thank you. Are there any other individuals, consultants, or vendors whose name or organization I didn't call? All right, hearing none, we can begin the agenda. We've called meeting to order, roll call. First item of business are the minutes from April 19th. I'm hoping folks have taken a look at them. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Thank you. We've got a motion to accept as presented. Is there a second?
Julie Savino, I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. The motion's been made and seconded to accept the minutes as presented. Are there any edits or corrections or clarifications to those minutes? Anything? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Minutes are adopted. Next item of business are the discussion of the authorizing resolution for the 2022 series bonds. Jeanette, are you going to provide the intro to that, or should we turn it over to Tim?
I'll start. Thanks, Peter. And as mentioned in the memo in the board package, we're proposing a tax exempt new money transaction and a taxable.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. The same way. I'll give them a little bit of time to transition.
Daryl, I think you need to go on mute.
Daryl.
So we have a tax exempt new money transaction and a taxable refunding transaction. As was mentioned at a prior board meeting when we were doing a preliminary overview, the refunding transaction is not being done for savings. It's being done for other benefits for the authority, which include additional equity in the 19 trust, which will support a favorable loan rate, an upfront cash release to fund refi loans, reduced administrative burden, and the implementation of 100 basis point admin fee on all loans. And before I turn it over to Tim, also wanted to mention that there is some loan yield liability associated with two of the refunding series, series 2013, about $274,000, and series 2020, about $154,000. And those liabilities will be mitigated through loan forgiveness, which will be achieved prior to the call dates, which are in 2023 and 2026. So,
Ned, I had two questions about what you've just said. One, in several places, including the formal resolution, says if the refunding bond issue is not done, what is the likelihood, or what would be the reasons that we wouldn't do the refunding issue?
So I think those reasons would be, you know, market driven, and I think we'll get into that when RBC gives some market commentary after Tim provides his overview.
And the other question is, it's loan forgiveness. How are you going to go about that to treat all borrowers equally?
I think it would be, somewhat of a burdensome administrative process. Judith, I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that's why we're happy we have the lead time with which to accomplish it. Does that answer your question?
Go ahead.
Well, Marty, as you know, the authority can do a number of things. It can decrease the interest or bring it down to zero. It can forgive principal. Forgiving principal above a certain amount becomes a taxable event to the borrower. And I think the authority will explore the most equitable way to do it and the least administratively burdensome way to do it.
I think the Board of directors ought to have some role in that. It seemed to me reducing the interest rate might be the best because it doesn't have that taxable feature. But the question of whether reducing the interest rate will be enough to make up the 275 or whatever.
Right. So certainly we can bring a proposal with regard to how we're going to address that to a future board meeting.
Of course, we also have the opportunity, don't we, just give the money to the government?
That's an option, but my preference is to avoid that if possible. I'd rather do something that can benefit borrowers.
There's no question about that. Thank you.
Right. So, with that, I'll turn it over to Tim Webb of Hilltop Securities to provide a further overview.
Good afternoon, everybody. Am I getting a? Just wanted to make sure I'm not coming across poorly on the phone. I'm actually out of the office today. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Are we having bad audio?
It comes and goes.
Okay. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, here for my daughter's law school graduation.
Congratulations.
So everybody from Nashville says hello. Thank you very much. So I'm going to try to keep this relatively brief. I believe the board members have been through this process once before. What we're looking at here is the issuance of tax-exempt Series B bonds subject to AMT that will provide funding for Tesla's 22-23 academic school year for in-school loans, and then also a federally taxable advance refunding of all the bonds outstanding under the 1990 trust. If you could move the slide forward, please. So preliminarily, we're at roughly $13.5 million of the Series B bonds. That'll obviously be subject to change based on market conditions, but the proceeds from the bonds would be used to put into the acquisition or origination account together with some funds that are remaining from 21, which will allow the authority to originate the expected volume over 22-23. We'll also fund the SCARF and then pay certain costs of issuance. The other side of the transaction is the taxable transaction, refunding all of the 19 bonds, roughly $62 million at this point to take out approximately $89 million worth of bonds, whose call dates are between 23 and 26. The proceeds will be used to establish a single escrow that will defease all of those bonds. We'll also fund the SCARF and then pay certain costs of issuance. These bonds will all be issued under the 19 master indenture, as would be expected. So once this transaction is completed and the bonds are defeased in 1990, we would only have the single trust outstanding, the 2019 trust. Next slide, please. So I went through what this purpose is, the Series B, again, to provide acquisition funds, origination funds. And then with regard to C, the Series C, the purpose of this is not net present value savings, but to provide access to the trapped equity that exists within the 1990 trust. It's anticipated that $5 million would be released to the authority. That would go on to the authority's balance sheet for utilization and origination of refi CT loans. Josh has experienced an increase in the refi volume, and that would be put on the balance sheet to deal with those refi CTs moving forward. It would eliminate all of the 1990 trust and all of the duplicative administrative efforts and expenses. It would also allow the authority in the future and also on this transaction to buy down rates, hopefully to keep rates as attractive as possible for those students that utilize the Tesla in-school loan program. And the reason that this is occurring is that the 1990 trust, being an older trust, did not have some of the bells and the whistles that we have in the 2019 trust, such as the ability to release cash on the run once you reach certain parity levels. So the equity that goes into the 2019 trust, we will have access to that down the future, down the line, provided that we have met certain requirements. And then finally, the inefficiencies that exist within the 1990 trust, particularly with regard to the SCARF, we will deal with that. There'll be a release of SCARF funds effectively. The total dollar amount of money in the SCARF will go down with this refunding in the 2019 trust. Next slide, please. This is just a listing. Don't expect anyone to go through it in any detail on the call, but this is a listing of the bonds that are outstanding under the 1990 trust. Some of them are maturities that are coming up between now and 26, and the others are term bonds that are callable between 23 and 26. So the total amount of bonds as of December 31 outstanding were $89,375,000. Those are the bonds that we would look to defease with this taxable refunding. Next, please. So here's Marty. I thought you might want to take a look at this. This is a look at preliminary sources and uses between the taxable B bonds and the taxable C bonds. On the B side, we'd be looking at roughly $13.4 million of new money issuance on the taxable, $61,750. So of that $13.4 million, we're going to deposit some money to the SCARF. We're going to make some payments to the underwriters, cost of issuance, and about $11.6 million would go into the origination account for Josh and Jeanette to utilize in the in-school loan program, together with approximately, I think, about $6 million that is remaining from the 21 issue. The $61,750,000 in proceeds, together with monies in the SCARF and other cash on hand in the 1990 issue, would be used to purchase securities to put into the escrow to defease the outstanding 1990 bonds. Once the defeasance is done and closed, then all the loans that are associated with the 1990 would be moved over into the 2019, and the $5 million would be released to the authority, to their balance sheet, to produce refi CT loans. Next slide, please. Okay, so here, one of the things that you were interested in, again, Marty, was what is the impact of this refunding? If we could pull up the RBC cash flows, the last page of the cash flows.
I have some questions on the cash flows on the next page, which is the most interesting fact I found here. You show
this page?
Yeah, you show coupons in the taxables early on of 3.4, 3.7, 50, while you show coupons in the same period, the tax exempt, the 5%. It seems strange to me that the market will take less interest in the taxables than they will in the tax exempts.
Well, I think, and Jeff can address this probably more appropriately than myself, but if you look at the coupons on the tax exempt, yes, they have a higher coupon of 5%, but look at the yield. The yields are down in the 2.5 to 3.46. So they are paying a premium for those 5% coupons. On the taxable issue, they're paying par. So the yields for a 22 maturity on the taxables at a 3.45 versus a 2.57 on the tax exempt.
Good. You're right. I should have looked at the yield column. Let me ask one other general thing. And the tax in these cash flows, is the increase of 100 basis points in fees included?
It is.
Okay. And I guess the next question I had was on page 105.
Of the board packet?
Yes. It's the okay. Origination schedule.
Okay.
I'm amazed, and maybe Josh can answer this, that you have in January 23, $7 million of origination. To me, that's hard to believe, if you will.
Yeah, so from a historical perspective, a five-year average pre-COVID, January disbursements were at $8.6 million. That $7 million is right in line with the January disbursements for fiscal 21. So it's not unreasonable.
Well, I noticed at the bottom of that page, we're thinking about a loan rate of 5.49. How competitive is that going to be in this current environment?
Well, that yesterday, just to provide a little clarity, yesterday the PLUS loan was reset for the 22-23 year. And the PLUS loan rate will now be at a 754, I believe, is what the, is that correct? 754,
yep.
That's right.
Yep.
So compared to your biggest competitor, the Plus, you know, you're at a 549 versus a 754. So there's 200 basis points between the two.
Right.
Grad Plus loans are actually 100 basis points less at a 654. So you're still more than 100 basis points below the Grad Plus rate or 200 basis points below the Plus rate.
Okay, I guess my next question comes on page 110, which is, first of all, it's an easy question. What does CPR, you say 10% CPR, what does CPR stand for?
Gary, would you like to answer that?
Sure. Constant prepayment rate. It assumes that, you know, 10% of the balance of loans prepays in any given year. So it's, you know, 10% of the then current balance.
Then on page 110, you have parity rates, which are, look very attractive, all the way down to 2029. But then you have blanks. Well, explain, what's that about?
So the parity ratio is just the ratio of assets to liabilities.
Right.
And so in this projection, the bonds are paid off, you know, well before the loans are. So once the bonds are paid off in 29, there's no denominator. Your ratio is of assets to liabilities is, you know, you don't have liabilities.
Yeah.
Which issue is this? Is this the refunding issue? Yes.
This is the 19 indenture in total.
See? Number C or all?
All of them.
I mean, this is both. This is the whole indenture.
That's correct. Correct.
And you're telling me all the bonds will be paid off in 2030? There'll be no more outstanding bonds?
Well, that is utilizing this series of assumptions, which includes that prepayment rate. It also does not contemplate next year issuing additional bonds.
Yeah,
so
I understand that.
Yep.
Okay. So that's okay. I think that answered almost all my questions. Thank you. Except the one I asked is what might come up that we would not issue the refunding bonds, as it says in a couple of places. We might not, but it could be possible that we wouldn't.
I could probably cover that when we look at slides. I don't want to cut Tim off.
Yeah, I think that the concern, Marty, is if somehow or some reason the market went away completely, and the analysis that looks at the benefit of this refunding, the economics went completely away. The last page of the cash flows, page 8, Marty, takes a look at what the benefit would be to this refunding or a loss as a result of the refunding. And you saw this chart before. This looks at the combined cash flows of the existing 1990 trust.
What page is this in the materials that got sent out? Can somebody tell me that?
It would probably be about around 110. I don't have that open in front of me.
Okay. Okay.
I'm at 107. I believe it's 107, Marty.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that's about.
So
go ahead.
So the chart on the top takes a look at the cash flows off of the two trusts. In what we would consider status quo. In the 1990, no additional bonds are being issued. In the 2019, we have the issuance of the Series B bonds, but no refunding on the status quo. And the cash flows are run once the bonds are paid off, or there's an ability to release cash in the case of the 2019. You have a stream of cash of the residual, And then you also have the admin fee that you're receiving on those two. So over on the right-hand side, you see your total total of cash releases and the admin fee, and that comes out to about $33.5 million. The lower left-hand column takes a look at the same concept, looking at the cash releases and the admin fees, but after having done this new money issuance and the refunding. You can see on day one at closing, there's $5 million that's being released to the authority. And then no cash is being released because the bonds are still outstanding. Once the bonds are gone, you have the release of cash, and then you have the admin fee, and you see the total of roughly $32,000. When you PV the stream of cash from the distributions or the residuals plus the admin fee of the non-refunding scenario versus the refunding scenario, you see that there's a net disadvantage of approximately $300,000. I believe the last time we provided this information to you, Marty, it was somewhere in the $550,000 to $600,000 area. But this is the look at the impact of the refunding.
Right. Well, one of the things it brought to mind is if we have, you know, $30 million that we didn't have in the past, we might have to have, oh, not might, it will be, I think, after many of our times, fewer bond issues. $30 million is a lot of money, but of course, it doesn't really happen until start really happening till 27 or 28. But I don't know whether we have any thoughts about what to do with all that money.
Well, again, not all of that cash is being released from the trust, and you would anticipate issuing new bonds on the run. So next year in 23, you'd be looking to do additional issuances, and you're going to have equity still tied up in the trust to help support that new money issue and also potentially to buy down the rate on the loans. So it's not as if the cash is going to come out of the trust each year at this level, because this is an assumption as to no future issuance in the future.
So we could use some of our credit, if you will, to buy down rates. And we might be able to reduce the number of bonds to the extent we release monies. I mean, we...
Well,
obviously, we just... We're reducing bonds for Connecticut refi because we're taking $5 million out.
Right, but the goal would be, I think Josh would like to see us utilize that $5 million as quickly as possible and then have a demand for additional refi loans. So I think the goal would be to increase the volume that the authority is able to originate, which may require the issuance of a higher number of bonds in the future. The whole goal is to provide the lowest cost loan possible to the borrowers and get it out as much as possible. The benefit is that you're continuing to build equity into the trust, which can be used in a number of different ways.
Thank you very much.
I need to jump in here. Daryl and Laura, I know that you have some time constraints. How much more time can you give us? Because this is an action item that needs a vote. And I want to make sure we have a quorum. So, Daryl and Laura, how much more time do you have?
I have you in my ear, so as much as you need.
Okay.
I was just thinking about that, Peter. Thank you so much. That's very thoughtful. I have I could probably do about another 5 minutes, unfortunately. All right. Okay.
Peter, I'm happy to move the resolution. It's the back of the pack, because if we have a second, we can have discussion, which is really what this is. A discussion about the resolution, which is the last two pages of the package.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention, I think if Laura has to drop, but if Daryl can stay, then I believe we have a quorum.
Okay.
But in any event, I'll move the authorizing resolution on page 222.
Great. Thank you, Murray. So we've got a motion to accept the resolution as presented. Is there a second?
I
I'll second it. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion? Questions, comments? Anything?
When do you think we're going to go to market? Because there are a lot of discretion given here to Jeanette. And maybe she can let us know before bonds are actually sold what the details are.
Right. So maybe this would be a good time to ask RBC, Jeff, to comment on market conditions and the plan for marketing the bonds.
Sure. Thank you, Jeanette. Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone see my screen that I just...
Yes.
So I have some interest rate information to provide here, but let me address the question on the table. So the state of Connecticut is preparing a large GO issuance. The expectation is that they will post their POS on Monday and price middle of the week, the following week, which is around Memorial Day weekend. We were originally thinking we would track that schedule in part because the annual information statement that they use becomes available to us basically at the time they release their phone. We can't go earlier than them because available until they go. So we were thinking, okay, well, as soon as that's available to us, we'll post as well. And tried to also price before the long Memorial Day. Given the size of the transaction, though, and the fact that it also has a taxable component, $650 million, them, so about $1 billion of Connecticut. Our desk is concerned that the Connecticut issue will sort of kind of suck the air out of the room for that time period and would pressure on our much smaller deal. So
you're breaking up a little bit.
My apologies. So we actually have a conference call this afternoon to discuss this question that you asked. I don't have an answer other than the recommendation of our underwriting desk is to actions. I think that probably means we go after, but I don't know date possible. You know, for example, the last day you could possibly price a deal ahead of Memorial Day would be that Thursday. That would only price, that would only put one day of distance in, unless you monitor closely. Otherwise, we could be talking about early the following week, which is holiday. So then,
so you're really talking about, you know, sometime in June, maybe mid-June or a little earlier.
Very early June. Like, so it would be very. Although I did ask the desk, I'm waiting for a response. I don't think it's advisable to try to price at the end of next week. US would only be out on the street for Thursday.
Jeff.
When is our next board meeting scheduled? I think so.
The next board meeting is June 14th. So we certainly expect we would be, you know, well in advance of that in terms of pricing the bonds. We're looking, it's really the week of May 23rd or the week of May 30th is what we're talking about. So the expectation I think that Jeff has expressed thus far is we're probably going to price the week of May 30th.
Thank you.
And Jeff, is there anything else you wanted to comment on with regard to market conditions generally or and any other slides you wanted to touch on?
If I have a few minutes, I'm happy to go through. I just have three slides, but I'll leave it up to the board. I do have some general, interest rate commentary.
I'd be interested in hearing that just for other reasons.
Yep. And just before we get into that, in the event we lose Laura, Laura, did you have any questions or any comments before, if you do need to sign off?
I think she may have already. Yeah.
She's already gone.
She put a note in the chat. Yeah.
She's gone. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hopefully you can hear me a little better. I got rid of the headset and now I'm just on the regular speaker. A little better.
A little better.
So far, so good.
Okay. So, again, just three slides. I'll try to do these quickly. On the top, we have the U.S. Treasury yield curve. And on the bottom, we have the municipal market data yield curve, which is what we use to price tax-exempt munis. Just a little perspective here. You know, you obviously everybody watches this to one extent or another. Immediately following the outbreak of the pandemic in March of 2020, the Fed moved aggressively to inject a lot of support into the economy, massive bond purchases, pushing rates down to effectively zero. So the bottom line on both of these charts, you'll see, was early August of 2020, we reached our historic lows on both the Treasury curve and the MMD curve. The tan line is to give you some perspective as to where you were last year when you priced your 2021B issue on May 26th. So, you know, you hit the market pretty well from a tax-exempt bond perspective, which is, you know, shown at the, on the bottom section here. You see the MMD curve was frankly not too far off of historic lows when you priced your 2021B issue. So very good execution. Credit spreads were historically tight, so, you know, so yields were very low. But you can see what's happened since then. The Fed has, you know, began removing accommodation late last year. They're making a big push now to try to get ahead of inflation. They seem to be behind the curve by most, in the opinion of most market pundits. And they're moving aggressively in terms of their level of hawkishness in terms of how they plan to adjust rates in the future. And you can see what has happened. The yield curve is significantly higher, both for taxable and for tax-exempt fixed income investments. So that's just kind of the backdrop. I'm going to go to the next slide. Here we drill a little bit deeper into the muni side of things, where we focus on ratios of tax-exempt yields to taxable yields, also important. Before I dive into that, I'll just note that we talked about this, but the bullet point at the top was just to, you know, to provide the news flash of what happened yesterday. Tim already mentioned that, that the federal plus rate will now be 7.543%. And that's about 126 basis points higher than last year's plus rate. Unfortunately, your interest rates for funding costs have risen by more than that because of the significant upward shift in the yield curve that I just showed you. For example, 10-year MMD, which is a key benchmark in the tax-exempt muni market, has risen 191 basis points. Tesla priced its 2021B issue. That 10-year MMD was a 1% flat on May 26th of 2021, and it's 291 today. So a significant increase in funding costs. And then the other part of the headline is ratios. So we're seeing a lot of cash flowing out of the tax-exempt muni market into other investments. Particularly bond funds have seen outflows in almost all of the past 16 weeks have seen outflows. And so that puts pressure on spreads in the muni market. And so what we're seeing here, and you'll see it right at the very end of this chart, you'll see that the 10-year MMD and the 10-year U.S. Treasury as of yesterday's close were right on top of one another. Yeah. Ratio of those two is 100%, which is the y-axis there. That's as opposed to back when you priced your issue, which is where this chart begins on May 26th, you had a ratio that was around 60%, meaning 10-year MMD was about 60% of 10-year U.S. Treasury, and obviously the absolute yields were quite a bit lower. But that's the bad news. Good news is that you've been here before, and as have other issuers have been in these higher rate environments before and successfully originated loans. You have the tax-exempt funding advantage. So the bond market is still open for business. Yes, reference rates are higher, and yes, credit spreads are higher. But so this is a chart that plots, at the top, plots Tesla's issues since 2015 on the date you priced and where the 10-year MMD and the 10-year U.S. Treasury was at those on those pricing dates. So, you know, I've called out this one in particular in 2018 when you priced the deal in September of 2018. We were in a similar interest rate environment then as we are now in terms of absolute levels. The only difference is that ratios are much higher right now. In 2018, the blue line, which is your 10-year MMD, was quite a bit below the tan line, which is your 10-year U.S. Treasury. And that's what we expect in a normal market. The market right now is under a lot of pressure, and so that's why we have much tighter ratios. It's gotten a little bit better. I've been watching this particular screen very closely. This is your 10-year, I'll do a refresh here. I think it probably refreshes automatically. But the 10-year Treasury note is at a 285 right now. We'll see if that refreshes. Yeah, 285. So that's actually better. That's actually better than it was yesterday when the plus reset. So that's always good, right? The plus resets a little higher and then funding costs come down. So as of this moment, the refunding that we just showed you on the screen might be marginally better because Treasury rates coming down help the refunding. Treasury rates going up hurt the refunding. So to answer the question about why we might not do the refunding, if Treasury rates were to, you know, go through the roof between now and early June, we would obviously take a hard look at the economics of that refunding. It's not dollar for dollar because there's an escrow involved here, which will be composed of U.S. Treasury securities. And so when Treasury yields go up, cost of your escrow actually goes down. The size of securities needed to fund the escrow goes down, but obviously your funding costs go up. So there's an offset because the duration of the escrow is shorter than the duration of the bond issue. So it's not one for one. It's less than that, but we obviously have to watch it closely, and that's what we'll be doing for the next. But any questions on that?
Questions for Jeff? Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Any further discussion, comments, questions? There's a motion out there to adopt the authorizing resolution as presented. Been made, it's seconded. Are there any further questions, discussion, comments? Anyone? Well, hearing none, the motion's been made and seconded to adopt the authorizing resolution for the 2022 series bonds. All those in favor of adopting the resolution as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Laura, for staying with us a little bit longer than your deadline. Appreciate that. Next item of business, Jeanette, did you want an executive director's report?
I actually don't have anything for the executive director's report.
Anything else? Okay. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Any other business for the good of the cause? In that case, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. It's Julie.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion, questions? All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. We are adjourned, and we will see everyone hopefully in June at our next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.